Seen a little girl do something and called Child Protective Services saying, how dare you make a little kid do these kind of things? So Child Protective Services had to come out, and the owner of the place is like, no, it's a ghost. We can't do anything about it. And then they figured out that there was some pictures of little kids in like this butchered hair salon themed room that they had, where they had taken pictures of kids from catalogs and like gouged out the eyes of the kids and drawn blood on them and stuff like that. And she had figured that it had angered this little girl. And when she took those down, which we saw them in the garbage to verify that that they were there and that they had been taken down, she said the little girl has been gone. Now, you have never seen the little girl.
No. No. I have seen a plaster of Paris little girl on a bathroom.
Which, as you recall,
window.
Brendan, stopped me dead in my tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Scared me
yeah.
to death because we were looking for a little girl, and she's kind of up in the corner of this old bathroom. And oh, my good Lord.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's just a prop that this lady has.
Right.
Hanging
as
in
part
the bathroom.
Of her spook alley, yeah.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned earlier, you know, I kind of rationalize things and... You try to
disprove pretty much everything you see.
Right, right. And I kind of have a theory that these people saying they're seeing this little girl,
right.
I think this prop in the bathroom may have set that off. I'm thinking that they got themselves creeped out. They creeped themselves out and they're like, oh, God, I see her everywhere. Or they just thought, well, you know, that makes a really good story. I'm going to say, hey, I saw her on the stairs doing God knows what.
Yeah. Because that was it. She was doing bad things to herself
on the stairwell. But then again, you know, they're... Definitely may have been something there.
We have not seen her or heard anything from her or anything.
Well, no, but we've certainly recorded EVP from this location, so.
Okay. Let's have some new EVP, Brendan.
Okay.
Before we do anything else, let's have another ghost voice. Let's just start with number one. Track number one on my little CD here.
Seems like the place to start.
Where did you record this one?
All right. Well, this was actually at the Exchange Building.
Oh, yes.
And this was recorded, April of this year. So
yeah, you guys do this year round. You don't just do it during Halloween.
No. We just talk about it during Halloween.
Okay.
But we do it all the time.
Now, were you in the building at the time this was recorded?
We were in the building. We were actually upstairs. And this was, again, on the main floor in, I don't know if you recall, the vault.
Yeah.
In there. Okay.
There was a bank on the main floor.
Yep. This is in the room that the vault was in.
And you just had the recorder in there and it was going.
Well, that's where this is a little different. Since April this year, we have been using condenser mics. And we still use digital recorders and all that, but we have been actually using condenser mics with mixers and, you know, trying to get...
So that you can get as much ambient sound as you can.
Exactly. And,
the quality
is just amazing.
Oh, yeah?
These. So, you know, it's just kind of been a trial and error thing. But this was actually recorded with the condenser mic while we were upstairs. And you're just going to hear a kid saying, either he touched my face or he cut my face over and over again.
And this isn't looped.
No, this is just, he says it six
times.
He's
like mumbling to himself.
Yeah.
He or she.
Yeah,
wow.
Weird stuff.
Okay. All right. This is from that building, the Exchange Building that we investigated last year. Here we go. Wow.
That was it.
I can hear a semi-truck drive by.
And the truck goes by. Kind of ruins the whole thing, but...
Well, he's still going, though. A lot of times in the past, if there would have been any background noise at all, that would have been it.
Yep, it would have lost gone. It. But you can hear him just talking right through the
And it's
deal.
Almost like he's trying to tell his mom something, or she's trying to tell an adult something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Creepy stuff.
That is weird.
That's creepy stuff. So,
And with the music, hey.
Absolutely.
That's right.
So, Brendan, we're talking with Brendan Cook of the Ghost Investigator Society. You have investigated prisons all over the western U.S., right?
Mm-hmm.
What's been the scariest place that you've investigated?
Hey, we got guests in studio.
Owens Prison in Wyoming has been scary. Not the ghost thing, but the prison itself and going in and hearing the stories about the people that used to be housed there.
Yeah, learning the history of the building.
Yeah, it creeped me. There used to be this guy housed there named Andrew Pixley, who was convicted of killing two little girls and eating them. It was basically cannibalism.
Yeah.
And you know, just hearing about this guy and all the guards, you know, they had him in the death house and they did execute him with the gas chamber. And the guards used to say that he would make weird noises while he was sitting in his cell. The inmates were terrified of him. They wouldn't go anywhere near him. So things like that.
Yeah.
You know, this guy might have just been legitimately insane.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was creepy. Just hearing about this guy.
Yeah. And were you able to get any EVP from Rollins prison from this guy, do you think?
It's so hard to tell from this, because this guy was executed in the 60s. So, you know, who knows if it was him or not. We certainly didn't get one saying, well, my name's Andrew Pixley.
Right.
Hello. Hello, Governor.
Lovely weather we're having today. Might I have a bit of your bum to eat? I like a rump roast.
Going on Albert Fish here or something?
Yeah, I don't know.
it's 8:42. So do you want to take some calls? About
Dave, your show.
You want to take some calls? Let's if you have a question for Andrew, or not Andrew, sorry.
Andrew Pixley.
No, Brendan's here.
Brendan Cook of the Ghost Investigator Society. If you have any questions for Brendan, give us a call right now. 470-570-670-1019. I'm sure a lot of people think their house is haunted. I bet you get that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
People who think their house is haunted.
Yeah.
And can people do ghost investigations on their own?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. You know, we suggest getting anything that could record sound. Obviously, if you're using a tape recorder, use one with a brand new tape. Never reuse a tape because there is bleed through and all
right,
that.
Right, sure, sure.
If you can, use any kind of digital source. I'm a
digital
huge
is
fan
better.
Of the digital now.
Right.
Barbara still will. She hates digital.
She doesn't like it.
She just hates it. But
okay.
She's old school.
She very old school.
let's go to the phones here.
We had a DVD player. So.
Oh, is that right? Really? Hello, 101.9 The End. Who's this?
This is Mark.
Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Good. So we're talking with Brendan Cook here of the Ghost Investigator Society. Do you have a question for him?
Well, I don't have a question, but I heard you guys talking about the Rollins prison.
Yes.
And I, too, have been there, and I actually have a picture of me sitting in that gas chamber.
Yep.
Oh,
and
really?
I got to say that is a pretty scary prison to go through that on a tour.
It is.
It's not abandoned. They do a tour through there.
Yeah, it's been closed since the 80s, I believe, and they built a new state prison to house all the prisoners there now, but it is a museum now, and you can go through and check out the cells and go into the death house. And,
okay. All right,
wow.
So if somebody's looking for a fun weekend getaway, head up to the Rollins prison.
Yeah,
it sounds like a fun date.
It's a fun thing to go through. It's interesting, but yeah, there are some pretty creepy areas through there.
Got it. Okay. Hey, thanks for calling in, dude.
Hey, you bet.
Hello, 101.9 The End. Who's this?
This is Kenny.
Kenny, what's your question, man?
I'm just calling. I served an LDS mission in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and I was wondering if you guys have ever done anything over there. I saw some pretty creepy stuff over there.
No, we haven't actually been there to do any investigations, but I know numerous people that have, and I have heard so many different EVPs. A lot of them, for some reason, have to do with, cannon shots. Well, I shouldn't say for some reason. It's obvious why. But,
right.
You know, you'll hear cannon shots and things like that. And it seems almost it's a residual thing. I mean, it's just, battles being played over and over again, things like that.
Well, Mr. and I were just talking about this last night. I've been really lucky. I got a part in a movie that starts shooting next month. It's a remake of the film Roman Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And the director is the guy who directed the film Gods and Generals with Matthew Broderick. And they got access to these battlefields. And these are some of the first people that have ever been actually allowed to shoot on these battlefields.
Wow.
His name is McKay Danes, who may or may not be listening. I don't know. You are McKay. What's up? I'm telling your stories. He lived on the battlefield, had a trailer on the battlefield while he was shooting, and had to move because in the middle of the night, the sound was so bad. He had to, he would hear horses race by his trailer. He would hear gunshots go off. He'd hear people yelling out orders to one another. You know, he'd hear people moaning and screaming in pain. And it eventually got so bad he couldn't sleep, and so he had to move off site.
So did he know this wasn't normal, or did he think they were doing
reenactment? He knew it wasn't normal, but he also understood where he was and just kind of took it all in stride because he's like, well, I'm obviously on the side of a horrific battle and many, many lives were lost.
And there's the numerous stories that I hear coming from Gettysburg is people that think it's a reenactment that's happening and they go out and, figure out or try and talk to the people that are doing it and all that.
Right.
And then they find out it's not.
Right.
You know, they're kind of taken back, I guess.
I got you.
Wow, that's
weird.
You.
It's 8:46. More with Brendan Cook coming up. We're taking more of your calls, 470-570-670-1019. We've got them right up until 10 o'clock, so
and
don't
more
go anywhere.
EVPs.
Lots more. We've got lots more EVPs coming up for you here on 1019.
The end.
Don't go anywhere. 852 1019 AM, Chunga, mister.
Good morning.
Here's Brendan Cook of the Ghost Investigator Society is here. We're talking about ghost investigations and all of his exploits by that he's enjoyed, that he's endured. Maybe would probably be a better term there.
Experienced.
Yeah, okay. That would work. Left my thesaurus at home. Sorry. and he also brought in some actual ghost recordings, and he's going to be taking your calls as well. So, without any further ado, I know people are dying to hear some more new EVPs,
electronic voice phenomena.
There you go. And this is we've already heard one about a little kid who was talking about how he cut or he touched my face, saying it over and over and over again to somebody we don't know who. Let's just go to track number two here.
All right.
Brendan, now, where were you when this one was recorded?
This was the Exchange building.
Okay, this is the building we investigated last year.
Yep. And I was upstairs. I don't know if you recall upstairs, there was the sitting room area.
Right.
You know, okay, yeah. That's where this was at. And I was kind of getting all my stuff
put
together.
In that main room where we was kind of our base of operations
there?
That
was it.
Oh, that's, okay.
And I had the notebook computer set up recording, and I also had my digital recorder. And this clip was
where I could have sworn I saw somebody touch the top of my head. I could have sworn, but, you know, what do I know?
Now, how do you see somebody touch the top
of
your head?
Well, I felt somebody touch the top of my head. Okay, so anyway, please continue. So you dropped a tape recorder.
Yeah, and this was recorded with the notebook computer. And you hear the tape recorder drop, and then you hear me, well, go, that can't be good. And then this woman comes in and says, either I broke my neck or he broke my neck.
Whoa.
Doesn't sound happy.
Well, if your neck gets broken, can you blame her?
Here we go.
Oh,
that
can't be good.
He broke my neck.
Oh, wow.
He broke my neck.
She sounds old and she sounds pissed.
Yeah, a little bit. Just, you know.
That's
a symptom of being old. I don't know. But
yeah, these are a lot clearer than they have been. And I guess it's the digital technology.
Yeah,
that you're...
yeah. And it's, like I said, I'm such a fan of that compared to the analog, you know, tapes being broken. And yeah.
Play it again.
Okay, all right. And this is where we were hanging out. Drinking Red Bulls.
Yeah, this was the least...
That was it.
This
watching Captain Kangaroo.
You were handing out glow sticks.
And, right. Yeah. Like, it seemed like the least haunted room in the place.
It really did.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Oh, I can't do
this.
It sounds more to me like he broke my neck than
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so gross.
Good times.
Okay, so you want to do another one? Let's just do another one
here.
And then we're gonna take some more calls.
Okay.
After we take a break, and get a lot more ghost stories and a lot more fun with Brendan Cook of the Ghost Investigator Society. Now, this is track number three.
Okay. And again, in the Exchange building, trying to keep them all in order here. So you know,
move
from one location to the other.
Okay.
At the Exchange building. And, again, record with the notebook. And I just say, well, that's scary. I wonder what happened over there. And, you know, there had been, I guess, a big accident on the freeway right next to the building. And I'm looking at that going, oh, there's a lot of cops. And,
right.
You know. And then you're going to hear, I believe it's a woman saying, tell Afton or Ashton to get out or give up. But I kind of hear get out.
Do we know if
get out or give up?
Okay.
Do we know of any Ashton or Afton?
Well, no, but that's the odd thing. We recorded this. In fact, I think the next voice after this also has the name either Ashton or Afton. And it's almost like, you know, that could be the kid that we keep recording from this area.
Okay.
And who knows?
All right, here we go.
That's scary. I wonder what happened over there.
Ew. Ooh, geez.
Nice little bird chirping in the background.
Yeah. Well, and, okay, now that's the next question I have here. Sorry, mister. You guys don't do this at night exclusively. You guys go out in the middle of the day. It can be noon, and you guys are doing a ghost investigation.
If it's a place that we have full access to the building, there's not a lot of other people there, then we do it during the day. Which, in this case, it was us and the owners. That was it.
Nobody else could be there. A spring day. You guys have investigated, like, in the middle of July on a hot summer day.
Yeah, Easter, you name it. We're there doing it.
All right.
So, it's interesting. You're not editing this, right?
What's that?
No, you're not editing them for the CD, are you?
No, the only thing we do is we will at times remove background noise, although with the notebook, we really don't even have to do that.
Right.
And then, you know, every once in a while, there'll be like a car that comes through or something that, you know, completely changes
the way.
Yeah.
And the reason I asked that, though, is because a lot of these, and I remember a lot of them from years past, and it maybe goes into that theory that you were talking about earlier, but almost the... A half second after somebody says something is when you start hearing the voices.
And there's a lot of times it comes over the person. There's a lot of times it will start talking as the other person.
As we've said before, you guys don't know that you can't hear this with your ear. You don't know that this is going on until after the fact.
Yeah, and it's
so
almost
you go back and listen.
At the time, I mean, if you get one that's overlapping with somebody, it's almost virtually useless. I mean, it's you know, we know for a fact it's none of us. But to play it for anybody else, it doesn't work. So
that was the weirdest part about being part of a ghost investigation is you want to speak so that you can sort of invite some sort of a response potentially.
Uh-huh.
And you're hearing nothing in return, but you want to give enough space that if it's there, it did feel a little odd.
The first
couple of minutes we were doing that, it felt a little strange. So.
Yeah, well, and also you'll notice people tend to have this thing where they want to whisper. I don't know what it is when we're out, you know, doing a ghost investigation. If somebody hasn't been with us, they'll want to whisper to it. And, I mean, that is the exact opposite of anything that you want to do. I mean, you want to talk loud, clear.
So you have a record of everything that's
going on. I mean, whispering just does not work.
Okay. Got it. Okay,
good.
More with Brendan Cook coming up, more EVPs coming up, and we're going to take your calls. We're running a little bit late, I'm trying to get us back on track here. But Brendan Cook isn't going anywhere. He's with us right till 10 o'clock here on 101.9.
The end.
Don't go anywhere. Thank you so much. It's 905 KENZ, Ogden, Orem, Salt Lake City, 101.9. The end. Chunga, mister.
Hello.
Here with you. We have our old pal. He's a staple on the show.
What?
He's a tradition on the show. He's one of the nation's foremost ghost investigators. His name is Brendan Cook of the Ghost Investigator Society.
Right.
And we've been talking about some of the different buildings that he's investigated over the past couple of years. We spent a lot of time talking about the Exchange Building up in Ogden, which is a stock exchange turned a insane asylum turned haunted house now.
That's what it is now, yeah.
And this building's been around for years and years and years. You can go up there. It's called Lazarus Maze. And you can actually go inside the building and go through the haunted house and know we did a ghost investigation up there, and it's haunted as hell. All right?
It's creepy, that's for sure.
So Brendan, we've talked about what you think ghosts are. We've talked about electro-voice phenomena. We've talked about good ghosts, bad ghosts. We've talked about ghost hunting at night versus the day.
Mm-hmm.
And my question for you now is, have you ever been one of the things we talked about was whether or not you believe in ghosts or what your theories are. And you're the kind of the naysayer in the group. You actually set out to kind of disprove pretty much everything that you see.
Yeah.
Or hear. For lack of a better term, you're the
skeptic.
You're the skeptic.
Yeah. I am very skeptical.
We sent you into a dark hole in the basement of the Exchange Building by yourself in the dark.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
we were all too afraid to do it, but you being the skeptic says, yeah, I'll go do it.
Yeah, and you handed me a glow stick.
So right, and said, there you go, knock yourself out. you have claimed that you very rarely, if ever, get scared. However, Mister and I did see you get scared.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
In fact, you ran like a ripe-ass ape out of the room when it happened.
Yeah.
I have it on my night vision camera.
Yep.
And I would love to put it online for everybody to see. Brendan, in pitch black darkness, something happens to you and you take off.
Yeah, but I believe you're going to have to bleep part
of
that. Yeah,
I can't stream it because of the profanity.
There'd be a lot of bleeps.
Had a mouth like a trucker.
Yeah, well, you did all of a sudden. I mean, you were completely calm, and then it was, oh, blah, 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 and out you went.
Yeah.
Now, what happened to you?
You know, it was a shock thing, because I'd been in that room I don't know how many times before.
It's in a very creepy, dank, dark basement in an old insane asylum next to the morgue, which is in the basement.
You say creepy, I say happy. But
right, I mean, it's, it's a relative term.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's, you know, I had been in there, I was comfortable with the room, you know.
You've been in there a number of times.
I'm fine with walking in the dark and all that, but...
Yeah.
You know, that may have been the second time I've ever really been touched by anything. And, you know, I was telling you earlier, I've rationalized it as something else. So, you know, people can tell me all they want. It was a ghost, but I figure it's something else. But
something, you felt something hit you
me
in
on
the back.
The head. Yep.
Something hit you on the head.
Yep.
That and the room right next to the morgue in the basement.
And even though we all thought it was a ghost, you have a new theory since then.
It was a bat.
You think it was a bat?
You thought it was a bat.
Yep. All right, which is okay.
It's a feasible theory.
It's a possible explanation.
Except for the fact, Brendan, that I have watched this numerous times and have shown it to my friends numerous times. And there's
You don't see any bat. Or hear a bat. You usually hear a bat.
Well, it's night vision, so you would see something.
Well, you need glasses and better speakers.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
you would see, because Brendan's a skeptic, he doesn't want to admit to the fact, but there is absolutely, it's completely gray around you. It's not dark. It's just gray. It looks like noon.
Yeah, man.
And you're standing there alone, and then you flinch, you grab your head, and then you flinch again, and then out comes the profanity.
Yeah, well. Invisible
and there's absolutely nothing around you. But, you know, I'll go back and rewatch the tape just to make sure.
Okay.
Now, have you ever actually physically seen a ghost? Have you seen it with your own eyes, and did it freak you out?
Yeah. Yeah. Once. And this is one of the only things I really can't rationalize that has happened to me. We were investigating a funeral director's house, and you know, it was a nice big three-level house.
Is this in Utah? I know people like giving their locations away.
Yeah, a lot
away.
Of people don't like giving locations away.
Right,
yes,
sure.
This was in Utah. The funeral director felt like a boy had followed him home.
Ghosts can do this, yes? They can they can follow you home. They
yes.
Can, okay.
Yeah.
I don't want no ghosts following me home tomorrow, okay?
Oh, hey.
I'm just telling them now.
Court's wife yelled at me and threatened to kill me if a ghost followed Court home from the ghost investigation last year.
All right.
So before we got in the cars, we said, okay, you are not welcome to follow us home, which is what you told us to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just started hucking rocks.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, nothing followed us home, so I think we're all right.
There you go. It seemed to work.
No. So this funeral director thinks that something followed him home from the funeral home.
Yeah, him and his wife had seen this small boy in their house. His wife was downstairs folding laundry one day, and this boy was in the laundry room with her, and you know, wasn't their kid, so kind of freaked her out.
Right.
He called us, you know, said, hey, I'm a funeral director. Would you mind coming in, checking this place out? So we did. And the first night we were there, there was four of us. Two people upstairs, one person downstairs, and I was on the main level by myself.
Uh-huh.
And I'm walking around doing my EVP stuff, talking, you know, asking, is anybody here? All that fun stuff.
Right.
And I walk into the living room area, and there's a big giant wall mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, just giant. And for some reason, it just struck me. I was looking at it going, that is a really nice mirror. Mm. I would like to have one of those. I mean, I was not even...
That's just your random thought process.
Yeah, it was. I just I looked at it
you're
and I said...
You're a fan of the mirror.
Yeah, that would go really good on my wall.
I like that.
So, you know, I'm sitting there looking at it, and, you know, I go, well, I'm doing ghost investigation. You know, I keep talking, and I say, well, hello, is anybody here? You know, and then I start looking around again, and I look in the mirror, and behind me, I see what looks like, I don't know, a 6-7-year-old kid, boy, run behind me, and this is the biggest cliched thing I can possibly think of, but it looks like his neck is broke. Like, he is running forward, but his neck is turned in such an ungodly way.
And his head is facing backwards,
pretty much backward. And as he's running forward, he's looking at me in the mirror. And I'm just like,
and kind of grinning at you as he runs past.
I didn't even really notice facial expressions. But what's so creepy is on the tape, it was actually a digital recorder, not a tape, you hear me say, hello, is anybody here? And then this boy runs past, and you hear me go, no way. Yeah. And this kid says, I'm assuming it's this kid, I mean, that's all I can rationalize it as. This kid says, I'm Gabe. ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
And just kind of laugh.
We played it on the show. You didn't bring it this time, but you can access it at GhostPix, GhostPix.com.
Right. Yeah.
And that EVP is on there, right?
It is.
And just
it
look
is.
For the I'm Gabe.
Yeah. I it's called the Boy episode.
The Boy episode.
Is what that, or.
Okay.
Lame attempt at being creative.
And so and that's where you saw the little boy with the broken neck running behind you.
Yeah. And it gives a brief definition of it in the context of, how it happened. Yeah, all and that. But that's one of the very few things that no matter what I do, there's no rationalization. There's, swamp gas reflecting off Venus,
wow.
The kitchen window. It doesn't work.
Wow. It's 9:13. We're taking your calls. 470-570-670-1019. Those are the numbers to call. We've got lots more EVPs coming up, but we always have tons and tons of questions for Brendan Cook. So we thought we'd give you a chance to just ask him yourself. Now that we've got him on the show. So give us a jingle, 470-570-670-1019. Hello, 1019 The End. Who's this?
This is Brent.
Hello, Brent. How are you?
I'm great.
Happy Halloween, man.
Yeah, thank you.
So so what's your question for Brendan?
Well, I was watching TV, and I seen some show where they were some ghost investigators were doing some college and back east somewhere, and it has some like devil thing etched on the wooden door, and I was wondering if he heard about that. Has he done anything?
Like a demonic symbol etched in a door?
No, a face, a demonic face etched in the wood door.
Mm. Oh, okay. Hey, thanks for calling. Just listen to the response on the radio, okay?
All right.
Thanks, man. What do you think, dude?
I'm not sure. No, I am aware of many. I mean, we certainly haven't taken any pictures like that or anything,
right.
But I'm aware of, people taking pictures of windows and seeing reflections that look like, some creepy lady from The Grudge or something.
Yeah, you haven't had actual where ghosts have caused physical damage to something to kind of show that they had been there?
No. I mean, we've had them move things and things like that, but never,
weird.
Never breaking things, really.
Yeah. One of the most commonly asked questions I get when people know that you're coming up is can a new house be haunted?
Absolutely.
New house can be haunted.
Funeral director's house. It was a year old.
A brand new home.
Yep. So there's no reason
Chugga,
I can't
when
be.
You say people ask that question, that's you.
Yeah, because I'm convinced.
Because Chugga will
convinced.
Only buy new houses because
I'm afraid
he's afraid there will be
true.
Ghosts there.
I have a couple of weird little quirks that I have. There are a few eccentricities that I have. Certainly not as much as some, but more than others.
Most.
I refuse to live in a house that's been lived in before simply because I'm afraid of ghosts. Being in the house.
Realtors must love you.
Yeah, I know. They do. Yeah, so, but ghosts can inhabit a new home, no problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with the person. Obviously, this guy was a funeral director, so.
Right.
He deals with this stuff quite a bit.
Okay. Got it. Hello, 1019 The End. Who's this?
This is Shannon.
Hello, Shannon. What's your question?
Hey, I have a question. I just wondered if he's ever actually seen a ghost that talked to him, not just seen a ghost and then heard it on the EVP, but actually heard a voice.
We talked about that earlier.
Mm-hmm. You want to give it to her one more time quickly?
Well, I have. I mean, it's, we've heard, the one that I can recall was a woman in this mausoleum. And, four or five people heard her. And we're all talking about it, and then we go back to listen to our recorders, and the woman doesn't appear on the recording.
Nothing there.
You hear
that's
us
so
talking
cool.
about hearing the woman, but nothing else.
Weird.
Awesome. Wow.
Shannon, thank you.
I want to hear another one.
You want another EVP?
Yes.
Yes, you're a maniac.
Was this like crack to you or something?
Yes, exactly.
Well, we're going to run out.
That's
I don't
want
to run out before the end of the show here, Mr. West.
Well, we've only played a few.
We're halfway, mate. We're halfway.
Almost.
Let's go to, we'll do this number four.
Number four.
Yeah.
Alrighty. This, again, at the Exchange Building.
Okay.
And, again, record with the notebook
computer. The Afton or the Ashton.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
okay.
That's it. And you hear me say, well, I wonder if there's a plug in there, and I'm just looking for a place to plug in the notebook.
Okay.
And you hear a kid say either my name's Afton or my name's Ashton.
Okay, here we go. And
I wonder if there's a plug in here.
Oh, that sounds like.
Whoa.
Yeah, you can't differentiate between the FT or the SHT.
Yeah, it's.
But it sounds like a preteen kid.
Yeah, my name's so and so.
12-year-old, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And earlier we heard a woman, right? Say, tell Ashton or Afton to give up or get out.
Or get
right.
out, yeah.
Which I can go ahead and play that one again.
For people who are
and
just
this
checking
is, this was all the same night at the same place.
No, actually not the same night.
Oh, not the same night.
This
really?
Was separated by a couple of weeks, I believe.
Really? Okay. So,
well, but at the same place.
Same building, yes.
Right.
Wow.
Here's that one that we played earlier.
That's serious. I wonder what happened over there.
So there's definitely two ghosts in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Without a doubt, there's two different ghosts in there, because there's a... So maybe that girl is in there running around.
Maybe.
Yeah, I never know. Now, we do have we got a fax question for you, Brendan. Just wondering, like the one we played about the water, where you heard two different voices, kind of an old man and
see,
a
and
young
I hear
kid.
Three different
maybe
voices
three.
In there.
Okay.
So.
The question is it common to hear more than one voice during a specific recording?
It's not actually that common. But when we do, I attribute it to it's what they call the residual EVP,
right.
which is, you know, there's no intelligence behind it. It doesn't know you're there.
It's just
you know,
an
it's
energy
not interactive
that plays
at
out.
All. Exactly. It's just for some reason something that's been somehow recorded
locked
in the atmosphere
in time,
and gets played back every once in a while.
That we can't
got
understand
it.
Or explain.
And see, and that goes against Barbara's deal, which is it's intelligent and it's trying to tell us something.
Yeah,
and
so you and Barbara, and we'll have Barbara back for the second show that we do.
Yeah.
She had
yeah.
other stuff going on today and couldn't be here, but you guys go back and forth a lot. You guys have very differing theories.
Right. Yeah, we fight like a married couple.
That's cool.
Hello, 101.9 The End. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jeremy. How's it going?
Good, Jeremy. So what's your question?
I got a quick question. I have a friend that killed himself a while ago. I was wondering possibly if I could talk to him or not. But can I use just any old tape recorder?
Yep. As long as it's if you have a brand new tape, that's
tape.
The best thing. I mean, if you use something that's already been recorded, you can have bleed over and you can hear things that just, you know.
That simply aren't there.
Yeah. So.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
that is
best,
so cool.
Best is to use, you know, a little digital recorder that'll cost you about $30 at Walmart. But
okay.
If you have a tape recorder, go ahead and do that also.
Okay. All right. So I can actually use a video recorder too.
That
yep.
picks up
yeah.
Anything
that
records sound.
Yeah.
Is, yep.
Oh, that is sweet. That is awesome.
Go
you're
back
good
and
man.
Listen.
All right. Thanks, dude. See you later. Yeah, you do recommend if people want to do a ghost investigation on their home that they leave the house, right? You start a tape recorder and leave the house.
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Actually, I would just say talk to them. I mean, if you
don't
actually,
want the TV on or the radio
no,
on.
God,
or
no,
anything.
No,
okay.
No, there you've heard a lot of that. Ever since this hideous white noise movie came out,
right.
There's been people doing this where they leave, you know, a radio tuned to static.
Yeah.
And then they talk, and it's just, I mean, it's bad. It doesn't work.
Okay.
But, yeah, stay in your house, talk to them. Yeah.
Okay, got
okay.
it. Hello, 101.9 The End. Who's this?
Andy.
Hello, Andy. What's your question?
Hey, is that quick, you were talking about the Exchange Building?
Yes.
Is that just the one right downtown?
It's in Ogden. It's up in Ogden, and it's, what's the address of that place?
Oh, don't ask me.
It's called Lazarus Maze.
It's a haunted
actually,
house now.
It's Exchange Road is what
oh,
I believe
it's
on.
Yeah. And it's not in downtown Ogden, no.
Oh, okay, because I have a lunch at the Exchange Place downtown Salt Lake.
Yeah, that's
that's not it.
There's a one in Salt Lake, too, but we're talking about one in Ogden.
All right.
Well, that was going to be a great icebreaker for me.
Yeah, well, sorry, man. See you later. Hello, 101.9 The End. Who's this?
Diane,
what's your question?
Hey, at the Exchange Building, I was wondering if you ever recorded dogs. Because we got to go with the Utah paranormal people through there, and I took a picture, and there's some dogs in there.
You,
I was wondering if you've ever recorded dogs barking or anything.
Oh, so you heard you recorded dogs barking?
No, I saw them.
You took
in
a picture and saw a dog in the building?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's tricky with that place because there is, right behind it, I guess it's livestock farms.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the most ungodly sounds coming from there. I mean,
right.
Really?
Yeah.
But
and
it's
I mean,
cows,
I,
really. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
But I have actually seen quite a few dogs, you know, run by there. But, no, to answer your question, we haven't recorded anything like that.
All righty. Thank you.
Yep. You bet. See you later. Hello, 101.9 The End. Who's this?
Marianne.
Marianne, you got to speak up or we got to let you go, baby.
Okay. How's that?
There you go. What's your question?
Why are there so many children
involved in these things? I would think there'd be more adults than children.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I you know, that has been, since we've been doing this, this has been the hardest thing to deal with, is the kids' voices, kids. And especially how young they sound. I mean, a lot of them sound maybe 4 or 5 years old.
Right.
And that's, it's been really hard to deal with, and we try to rationalize it in certain ways. Barbara has her theory of, you know, they're so confused, you know, they don't really understand what death is. So,
right.
You know, it's almost like they don't know where to go. And I have a hard time buying that. That, you know, it's hard for me to deal with to think that.
Yeah. Well, how could you stomach something like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thinking that some poor little kid is running around not realizing his circumstances.
Yeah. In fact, they're one of the most heartbreaking, aside from the water thing, assuming that was a drowning thing, one of the most heartbreaking EVPs that we've recorded was in a cemetery. Of a little girl that, you know, sound like maybe she's 8 or 9, and she just says, "Help me find my dad." And when I heard that, I was just,
It breaks
bad,
your heart.
Bad. Yeah.
It breaks your heart. Well, that water, the drowning one that we played earlier, that was, thank you for calling, ma'am.
You're welcome.
That was one of those things. I've got friends, very good friends, Michael B. being one of them, that can't listen to it.
There's a lot of people.
I simply just can't. It's too sad to hear.
Yeah.
I simply just can't listen to it.
I mean, if that's what you think that is, then it is. It's just so hard to listen to.
Right.
So.
And of course, there's no history. You have no history of when this could have taken place. So it could have been from the 1920s. Yeah. It could have been from,
any time. Who
and
knows?
It seems like, tell me if I'm wrong, Brandon, but it seems like a lot of the voices that you hear don't necessarily have anything to do with talking to you. Or they could just be something like resonating from the past.
Well, you know, it's hard to figure out what they're referring to.
Right.
I mean, because obviously we can't see what's going on over there. We can't see what they are referring to.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times if you listen to what we ask when we're out, you know, hello, is anybody here? What's your name? Things like that. We rarely ever get a response to what's your name.
To the question.
But we normally get responses to, you know, hello, is anybody here? So it seems like they're interacting with us, but, you know, they may respond with something so weird that you're just
maybe. They're not saying, yes, I'm here.
No,
well, they're not
they're
answering,
like,
the question, is what I mean. So maybe the theory, and all these are just theories, that it's just, you know, an echo from the past or something.
Yeah, it's certainly not like
that. Helps me to think, you know, if some little girl's looking for her dad or something, that she's not still looking, but maybe
she
was at
some
point. It
eases your conscience a little bit.
And so,
that
goes to my thing, where it's easy for me to think that, you know, this isn't an intelligent thing. She's not continually doing it.
Right.
Whereas Barbara seems to think they are continually doing that, and it goes back to the water thing. She thinks that boy is reliving that thing over and over and over again.
It's very interesting for me to. We're talking to Brendan Cook of the Ghost Investigator Society. He investigates ghost activity. That's what he does. And we're playing ghost voices. And in this next EVP, you're talking about how you ask the question, "Hello, is anyone here?" And that's a commonly asked question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Standard. And this person says what?
It's a kid again.
Uh-huh.
And she just says, "It's cold," and then pause. "It's cold."
Okay. And where was this recorded at? A cemetery or?
Exchange building.
This is still the same. Okay, here we go.
I think this is the last one from.
Okay, here we go.
Hello, is anyone here?
Yeah, that one. Huh. Yeah, it doesn't sound happy.
I don't hear that as clearly. I mean, I hear the voice, but I don't hear it's cold.
Now, that one is kind of, you know, what's interesting about that is it sounds like it's almost in the background compared to the way I sound.
Yeah, yeah.
And my acoustics compared to that.
Let me guess, that was recorded back in the back corner of the basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, it was in the basement. But,
The woman who owns the building says that her son plays down in that back corner, and it's a room that she lives in this building.
Mm-hmm.
Year-round, she lives there, but she won't go down in this room.
That's true.
She's afraid of this room. She says her kid likes to go down there because he has a playmate down in that room.
Oh, nice.
And that room is always cold.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of that has to do with there's a window broken out in the
Yeah, well, also, that, so. That could be it. But, yeah, and it's just a cinder block room with a teeny little window up near the ceiling.
Yeah.
And that was the room that creeped me out more than any other room.
We didn't spend any time
in there. Mr. and I didn't go in that room.
No.
We went in every other room. We went in the morgue. We went in the vaults and the bank and the room where the drowning EVP took place.
We just felt weird in that one.
You and I said, no, I think we're going to pass on that room. And then she told us after the fact, I don't go in that room either. And so that's where that one was recorded.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and I'm not sure it's exactly that room, but it was definitely in the basement, and it would have been towards that side.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, the further and further down I walked, and I don't know if it was the rotted white paint on the doors or, you know, from when it was a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
It was a insane asylum, for lack of a better term.
Weber County Mental Health.
Yeah, exactly. And there are messages of hope that are still scrawled on the walls in some of these rooms that are inaccessible to the public as a spook alley.
Right. Well,
and little messages of positive thinking and things like that. And there's some of these messages down there, and it's really creepy to be around this building at all. But that room freaked me out too bad for me to even go in. Grown man.
Yeah, when you hear the context of the building itself and the history behind it, and it's a little bit hard.
It's a very sad, very morose building.
Yeah, it's the same as, you know, we go to prisons and and it's not the ghost thing that freaks me out. It's hearing about the inmates that were housed there.
That's creepy.
Once you hear the history, it's different.
So. You know what was really interesting to me was to watch Barbara work, and it's sad that she's not here today because we love Barbara. Hopefully you're listening. We love you, and we can't wait to have you back here closer to Halloween and see you tomorrow night at the ghost investigation. But she kind of reminds me of the wise shaman
mother
she's a lot more spiritual in how she goes about performing her investigations than you are. You're more scientific, more technologically oriented. She's a lot more holistic and organic in the way she goes about.
That's true.
I watched her for about 2 hours, just kind of tailed her. I don't even know if she knew I was there. Just watching her do her thing when she thought no one was around, and it was really cool to see her do her stuff.
She's extremely, I guess you'd say, motherly.
Yeah.
When she's out, and she treats them, and I think that has something to do with we do get so many children's voices.
Yeah.
And she, you know, she almost treats them like children.
Yeah. You can literally feel the care.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's it.
And
she
the
does,
sympathy
yeah.
coming out of her when she's talking to these ghosts and things like that. Mm-hmm. And really, really cool to see. So you want to do another one here?
Yeah.
Before we need to take a break here really quick.
We've got five more EVPs to play, and these are all coming from a place where we're going to be tomorrow, right?
And we'll talk more about our ghost investigation and what's going to go on there, and we'll have you take some more calls, too.
Right.
More coming up with Brendan Cook of the Ghost Investigator Society here on 101.9
The End.
Yeah, don't go anywhere. Oh, thanks. It's 9:36, 101.9 The End, Jimmy Chunga, Mr. West.
Good morning.
Okay, well, we've got Brendan Cook here from the Ghost Investigator Society. Mr. and I are proud to say that we've actually been able to go on a ghost investigation with Brendan Cook of the Ghost Investigator Society.
Right. And we're going tomorrow.
We're going on another one, and we're actually investigating two different locations tomorrow, correct?
Two different locations.
One of which is the Union Station building in Ogden.
Uh-huh.
And we can reveal that no problem, and that's...
Yeah, they have no problem with that whatsoever. So.
And we're going to be in a closed-off location, not open to the public, and kind of a haunted area of the Union Station, and you've got tons of EVPs out of that area before.
Yeah.
Are some of these from that
No, actually, none of them... are from the Union Station.
Okay.
They're from the other place we're going to be at, which we can't say.
We're going to start fairly early tomorrow, but we will go into the very wee hours of the morning investigating somewhere along the Wasatch Front.
Somewhere.
Somewhere between Ogden and Springville, down south, a mausoleum and a haunted cemetery.
Yeah.
Which you have got lots of EVPs from.
Yep. The mausoleum is, it's different. Extremely different.
Explain for our listeners, before we play these EVPs here, explain for our listeners what we can expect when we go to this mausoleum.
It is, I mean, it's huge. It's all, it's, you know, pure marble. The ceiling's probably 20 feet high, 25 feet high. I mean, just huge bodies stacked on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's got three levels. So, you know, there's an upstairs, downstairs, kind of a basement area.
Okay. There's bodies on every level.
Yeah, bodies on every level. The atmosphere is just extremely heavy. I mean, it's just kind of a musty, heavy...
Is it a bad feeling?
I guess it could be. I think it's just knowing that you're surrounded by all these people, you know, in the walls, okay, basically. And, you know, we were talking about what we were going to do to you guys once we get you there, like locking you in the pump room or something. If the crematory was open, we'd throw you in there for a little while.
Oh, that'd be fun. There's a crematory in the building.
Yeah, actually they stopped using it. They built a new one in the funeral home, so that isn't even used anymore.
Will we have access to the crematory?
I don't. We may. I'm not sure.
It would be interesting just to go in there.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd want
to.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to check out.
But no, what I think we'll do is throw you back in the alleys behind the vaults where the vent tubes for the crypts are, because that should give you some interesting smells.
Okay, hold on a sec. We're going to go back in the back alleys behind the bodies.
Yeah. Well, the alleys are inside the building.
Yeah, it's still inside the building.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've always wondered, is it open? Or is there like a chain link cage back there?
No, it's
sealed off?
It's sealed off, and there's tubes coming out of each crypt. They're called vent tubes. They just vent the crypt, I guess.
They help the body decompose.
Yeah, basically. Creepy. So, you know, and it's a, you know, if you're claustrophobic, you probably ain't going to like it. I mean, it's...
So fans are constantly sucking air out of the crypts.
And it's, yeah.
Does it stink?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not like a decaying body, but it's got its own pleasant aroma, if you will.
Yes!
And these EVPs you have were all from this place.
Actually, what do we have here?
We're on number 7.
The last three are from
that
place.
Oh, the last three.
The next two are actually two different locations.
So. Okay, let's do number 7 here before we have to do... We'll do 7 and 8 here before we have to take another break.
All right. 7... was at the Deer Lodge prison in Montana, which is a huge, huge prison.
Now, what's this prison like? Is this a modern prison or is it an old?
No, it's actually about twice the size of Rollins prison.
Okay.
But it again has been shut down since the 70s, I believe, and they do the same thing. They take tours through it and all that. And we had so many people calling saying we need to go check this prison out. I finally got a hold of the director of the prison. He's like, oh yeah, we've been waiting for somebody to call to check this place out. So we drove up to Montana and he literally just handed us the keys. He's like, give them back to me in the morning. So, I mean, it was the five of us in this huge, huge prison.
Now, is this, how would this equate, because I know a lot of people that haven't been to Rollins, how would this equate with, say, out at the Point?
I would say close to the same size.
And you guys are in there running around with the keys.
Yeah, and we're all by your lonesome. And it's only the five. And this is what I was saying earlier. It's almost to the point where you do need some extra people because this thing is so huge that there's no way you can cover everything in one night.
Okay, now, Brendan, I want to be on the record right now. The next time you guys go to one of these locations, like Deer Lodge, can I go with you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean,
I'll make the trip with you.
We could have benefited by about three other people.
Mister, you want to go?
So much.
Yeah, I think, but this prison's scary, man.
I got my buddy George, who works down at Stone 5 Studios down in Provo, who is a nut for this stuff,
right?
And lives for this. So I'll take him.
The good thing about Deer Lodge is, unlike Rollins, there wasn't a gas chamber, so there's no. There's a death house, but it wasn't like a gas chamber. They used what was called the galloping gallows. And they would they had no specific place where they would hang inmates.
Uh-huh.
So they hung them in the middle of the courtyard so all the other inmates could see.
Oh, good Lord.
It was an interesting prison.
Extremely.
I mean, it was created before Montana was even a state. And they still used it up until the 70s. So it just...
There's a lot of killing going on.
So what do you hear on this clip?
In fact, this clip was recorded in the solitary confinement area called Siberia. And Siberia was literally a hole in the ground. They would throw inmates, and I'm sure you know how cold Montana winters get.
Yeah, sure.
They would throw inmates in this hole naked and let them sit there for 3 days in the middle of the winter. So it got the nickname Siberia.
Okay.
And they have all these records of all these people dying in this hole. And you're going to hear Barry, one of our other members, say, did the guards kill you or did you kill yourself? Because Obviously, a lot of inmates would rather just kill themselves than deal with that for 3 days.
Right. Right.
And you hear a guy, he sounds like he says, I almost had the key.
Okay. Ooh. Again, not really making much sense to the question, but trying to get some point across.
Well, you could almost rationalize that, you know, he's saying, well, I died because I tried to steal the key from the guard.
Oh, sure.
You know, that might be a really big jump to.
Okay. It's interesting, though.
Here we go.
Did the guards kill you? Or did you kill yourself?
Oh, wow. He's actually louder than Barry is there.
Yeah, that's weird. That's a clear one.
Yeah, weird.
And he's got kind of that whiskey-toned voice, kind of like a prisoner would have.
Yep. I mean, we recorded in that Deer Lodge prison, we recorded some weird, weird EVP. We had one, the tour guide, because we had a special tour guide that took us around, just our group, to let us know where things happened and all that. He was actually one of the guards in the 70s for this prison.
Wow.
And he told us some of the most disgusting things that they used to do to the prisoners to make them fall in line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to repeat
they
really
can't be
any
repeated
of them.
On
yeah,
the air.
I mean, it's just cruel stuff. But in one clip, and we didn't bring this today, but you hear Jenny, my wife, and myself talking about what this guy had just told us that they used to do to these prisoners. And then this guy comes in and says, we sat back to back. And this guy, the prison guard, had actually put people back to back and tied their arms together.
Mm-hmm.
So, they were pretty much locked together.
So it kind of confirmed some of the things that we'd
said.
What's this? What's number 8 here? This is also in the Deer Lodge prison?
Nope. This actually is at a witch's house. A lady called us, said they'd been practicing witchcraft, and suddenly all this weird stuff started happening. Kind of odd.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so, you know, I go
in
there.
Is this in Utah?
Yeah, this was in Utah also.
Okay.
And I go in there, and I'm in the basement by myself, and I say, is anyone here? Does anyone want to talk to me? You know, just standard stuff I always say. And I believe this is a kid that says there was blood.
Oh.
And the stuff this lady was describing as far as hauntings was really bad. She was waking up with scratches on her. Just nasty, nasty stuff. So.
Okay. All right, here we go.
Is anyone here? Does anyone want to talk to me?
There was blood.
Yeah, it sure sounds like that.
And that audio was enhanced by me. I turned up the volume on that so that you could hear it more clearly. That wasn't anything that Brendan had done. But that's how it was in its original state right there, eh, Brendan?
Yeah. We always try and, I mean, you probably noticed this by now, we include context on the first cut, and then we just cut out
and
the voice
and
then
Okay, hang tight. More with Brendan Cook of the Ghost Investigator Society. We've got 3 more EVPs to play for you, and they're horrifying.
They sound spooky.
Yeah, so don't go anywhere. It's right here on 101.9.
The end.
Stick with us. Man, it's 9:52. I can't believe the show's already almost over. It's a good thing that these shows are so popular that we do 2 of them now with the Ghost Investigator Society.
Right.
We have a ghost investigation coming up tomorrow that Mr. and I are going to take part in, and then we're bringing you guys back to talk about our findings.
Yeah.
We're going to give you the results of our ghost investigation and talk about more of your adventures.
Probably 2 weeks from today.
All right.
So.
That should work.
I think that's I mean, that's not set in stone, but we think that's when it'll work.
And in addition to our EVPs that we get on our multiple sites that we're going to be investigating, I want you to bring in some of your more scary, more horrifying EVPs that you can. It'll be kind of like your greatest hits.
Yeah.
there you go.
You know, oddly enough, I think that's actually what we're doing for Bell's show, too.
Art Bell.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, good.
Okay, well, see, that's fantastic. Now, we have 3 EVPs left before we run out of time here. These are actual ghost voices, ghost recordings that you guys don't hear.
That's right.
When you're doing the actual investigation, you hear them after the fact.
When you play back the recording.
That's why there's no reaction on your part when these things are heard.
Yeah, that's, you know, I can't even imagine what our reaction would be if we heard some of these at the time.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I can.
These 3 EVPs that you have here are exceptionally scary for Mr. and I because these are in the mausoleum, which we're going to be investigating tomorrow night.
Yep, this is where you guys will be.
On Friday the 13th.
Yes.
Are you superstitious at all about that kind of stuff?
No.
All right.
Not so much.
Brendan Cook, the skeptic.
We are.
So what are we going to hear here, Brendan? This All is right. track number 9 of 11. Here.
Yeah, this first one, this was actually recorded in the main room of this mausoleum. Big, huge, you know, grand room that they have.
Okay.
And you're going to hear Barbara say, "Does anyone want to say anything to us or talk to us?" And, you know, it sounds like a woman says, "I'm really warm." You know, is her body warm? What's the deal?
I don't know. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
It almost sounds like Barbara's voice.
It does a little. It sounds like a really? Sweet
sky. See, I don't hear that at all. But
really?
Maybe that's I'm just so used to hearing Barbara's voice.
Yeah, it's similar.
Let's play it again. Okay.
Well.
All right.
So we have somebody who was cold earlier, and somebody is warm now.
It sounds to me like it would be kind of hard to do some EVPs in there because it's such a big, grand, spacious, echoey building.
Yeah, you really have to kind of go off by yourself and... Okay. Get away from people.
Yeah. His mister's got to go off by himself.
Great. Yeah, you all got to go off by yourselves. But
in the mausoleum.
You know, and
I got to go by myself in the mausoleum.
Yeah, what's weird, and maybe we'll bring this one next time, is I'll be quiet.
Yeah, go
Just
ahead.
Go with you.
Yeah, what are you saying, Brendan?
Oh, I don't know. What?
Well, oh, dude.
We're just freaking out because we're thinking about it.
Already, man.
Sorry.
Anyway. Now, we did actually have another one that was recorded right after this. Sounds like the same woman... saying, "I'm getting big."
Oh,
now, what
really?
Could that mean?
Well, you know, they plump when you cook them.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Oh.
I mean, I have bad pictures that come to my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got number 10 here.
Okay.
In the mausoleum.
Yep, and this was actually recorded with one of our old analog tapes, so the sound quality is going to be a lot different. And I actually go downstairs by myself, and I thought I had seen something, and, you know, I later rationalized I didn't, but you're going to hear me say, "Okay, never mind," and I kind of, you know, chuckle a little bit, and then you hear a kid, it sounds like she says, "Run, pause, run."
Oh, my gosh!
Okay.
Yeah. Here we go.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, yeah. Do you think that was a warning, maybe, Brendan?
You know, I don't know. Honestly, I've never had anything bad happen in that place, so that was years ago.
Let's hope it doesn't tomorrow.
You say you have only been scared twice.
Yeah. Unnerved, I guess.
Unnerved. Yeah. Once was it the little boy with the broken neck, and the other was with us. When something hit you, it struck you in the back of the head. But you have had other things hit you. You have had things fly at you.
I've been slapped once.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But I thought that was my wife.
You weren't scared at the time.
No, because I thought it was my wife slapping me until I turned around and realized she was, you know, 50 yards down the road. And I'm like, maybe it was something else.
Okay.
Yeah, but that didn't freak you out.
It was just kind of odd.
That was weird.
You know, Brendan, I like to think I'm very sensitive to this kind of stuff. You know, and again, it might just be me because you're a skeptic, but the fact that Mr. and I both at the same time chose not to go in a specific room.
Right.
You know, without really speaking to each other, we both kind of decided on our own, we're not welcome in there. Well, I don't think we should go in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I felt very much when we were walking down into the basement when you were hit with something. When we were first walking down there, Court and I were, Mr. and you and Barbara were already downstairs, but Court and I were walking down the stairs, and I said, I got a bad feeling about this. Very bad feeling about this. It was about 5 seconds after that you got hit in the head with something.
Oh, nice.
So
you didn't tell me?
Well, I
got a bad feeling you shouldn't go
in there.
You
don't want to let your brain run away with things, you know? And so I'm purposely, I guess, kind of a skeptic when I get there. You're walking a fine line between being open to something and being skeptical about
it. Well, how about tomorrow you tell me?
I will tell you.
Oh, that's
fair. Yeah, I will tell you for sure. Now, we have number 11 here.
Yeah, okay. Now, this is
the Mac Daddy, right?
Well, I find it funny, but, I mean, it's definitely different.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
What was happening is there was the five of us, actually four of us, in the mausoleum this night, and we were all getting ready to walk outside.
Yeah.
And, of course, I left my recording equipment going as we were leaving, and you're going to hear Barbara say, we invite anyone to speak with us. We invite you to tell us your name, talk with us. I hope you'll introduce yourself. I'm Barbara. And then you hear the door shut, and once the door shuts, we are all outside. There's nobody left in this mausoleum.
Right.
And you're going to hear this woman just start laughing. I mean, it's just...
kind of like you, oh, it's hilarious. Silly mortals. Yeah. You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Okay.
All right. Well, here it goes.
We invite you to speak with us. We invite you to tell your name and talk with us if you introduce yourself. I'm Martha.
Oh.
That's creepy.
Yeah.
There's nothing funny about
so
that.
So what did you guys what did you guys take from that? Did you take that she was amused by you?
Yeah, you know, and we've actually, there's been times we notice they almost joke around with us, I guess. It's we'll ask them to talk with us and we'll get answers that say no. Yeah, I was like, well, what'd you just do?
Yeah. Oh man.
I don't know.
Okay, all FYI, right. We'll replay some of the show today, if you missed some of it, during our Saturday morning reruns between 8 and 10.
Exactly, and these guys are coming back again in 2 weeks,
right.
And we'll report the results of our findings.
And you tomorrow. Guys will be at the Weber County Library Monday and Tuesday night.
Yeah, yeah. It's a free presentation, free to everybody. Just get there early because... It's
popular.
It sells out quick.
Yeah, well, not so much sells out, but... No, it fills up really quick.
Tickets will be passed out starting at 6.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And it's at the Weber County Library Monday and Tuesday night.
Yeah, and apparently we have the main room, so we can actually fit quite a 200 people or
Oh, nice,
I mean, quite
nice.
A few people in there, but every year we get people just upset with us because they've been waiting and they can't get
in. Yeah.
So that's why we're doing two this year, and hopefully everybody... gets to do
Got it.
It. So.
Okay. Well, cool. Brendan, thank you so much for being on the show again. We'll
no problem.
Look forward to hanging out with you again tomorrow night, and then we'll have you back in a couple of weeks.
Great.
We need to call out a name for our Jung and Mr. Pirates of the Caribbean cruise. This person is going to have 10 minutes and 19 seconds to call us back and claim their qualification from Provo today. It's Marianne Morley.
Marianne Morley.
Marianne Morley.
You've got 10 minutes, 19 seconds. If you're not Marianne, don't call.
Yeah,
just
please
Marianne.
Please don't call. Marianne Morley only, please.
405-670-1019.
It's about the mornings with Chunga and Mister.
Chunga.
Mister. It's about the music. Crystal clear reception all day at work at 1019 or online at 1019theend.com. 1019.
Boom!
One.
Nine.
The end.
Hello, 1019 The End.
Hi, this is Marianne Morley.
Marianne Morley!
Yay!
We're glad you got through, Marianne.
I was nervous. It was so busy.
Well, yeah, we had somebody else on your line down there in Provo.
Congratulations, though.
Thank you.
You're qualified to win a cabin on the Chung and Mister's Pirates of the Caribbean cruise.
That's awesome.
We're giving away another one tomorrow.
I'm so excited.
Congratulations, Marianne. Tell us what radio station is sending you to the high seas.
1019 The End.
Nothing so loud. Till